Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We are taking this this study and consideration through the Scriptures about growing up in our Lord, based on the passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. The present subject is this of assurance of salvation. We've taken a look at the basis of assurance, what's meant by assurance, why we need it. And last time we took a look at the things that those that are saved know. Of course, knowledge and understanding of salvation is not based on what we feel. It's based upon the knowledge that we have, what we know, what we believe, and rest in Christ about. Growing up in our Lord. This passage here in Romans chapter 5, I think, is a good passage to understand about how it is with our walk with the Lord and this growing of assurance, because assurance does grow. And I think that it's best described by this passage. And we read here in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith. So you and I have nothing to do with justification, something our Lord's done for us, made us just as if we've never sinned. He takes care of that. Now, how do you know that that's happened? Well, you believe and rest in the Lord that He did it for you. That's how we know that we've been justified. He saved us. And those that He saves, He justifies. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessedness it is to have peace. And you know, our peace can grow. The storm in life can increase, and we can have times that our peace in the Lord will falter and wane and be challenged. But that as we grow in our Lord, the storm of life can increase, the trial of life, the testing of our Lord. As we know is the case in the Scriptures, we see that. The Lord tests His children. Our peace with our Lord through Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, is there and does increase too. By whom? Christ. Also, we have access by faith. Admission, that word access is speaking about. We are children. We can go to our Lord, speak to our Lord. Into this favor, this grace wherein we stand, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we can go to our Lord. We know He will give us the things that we need. It's said, I've said it in days gone by, I said, someone would ask, how you doing? Better than I deserve. Well, of course. That's the way it is for all of us at all time. We deserve nothing because we can earn nothing. But our Lord is gracious. And you know what? To the child that goes to the Lord in faith in Him for the need at hand, you know, our Lord bestows favor. He bestows help. It's His design and the way that He has made these things and the way that He deals with us. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. As you and I see about the glory of God in the Scriptures, I want to take you back to that of Brother Moses. Brother Moses knew that the children of Israel, he and the children of Israel, needed the Lord's presence. He said, don't take us out of this place. And then knowing and desiring the presence of the Lord, and for the Lord not to send them to Canaan without the Lord Himself going in their midst, Moses then asks and says, show me your glory. He wanted more. Remember how it was there as we took a look Sunday about Horeb, Mount Sinai? The Lord spoke from heaven, from the mount, unto the children of Israel, giving them the Ten Commandments. The people backed off and said, Moses said, it's okay, it's all right, come on up here near. To the point, to the line that the Lord had set, he wanted fellowship. He wanted fellowship for them. You remember the account, I trust, in the Scriptures where it tells about Moses, there's people in the camp and they're prophesying. And they were jealous over Moses, said, that's your job. It's your job to prophesy. You know what Moses said? Would to God all the people prophesy. And see, and so our walk with our Lord, our fellowship with our Lord can increase our peace, our rest, our trust in Him, the grace, the favor He bestows upon us as He brings us along as we petition Him. And we have hope of seeing His glory one day. We can see His glory now in the Scriptures. But one day we'll see it with an eyeball, with eyeballs, if you will. Okay, we'll see it physically. We have hope in that. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now let's come back to here. We've got that hope of the future, of eternity with our Lord. You know, our expectation is that Jesus is going to come at some moment soon. And when we see Him, we'll see Him as He is, for we'll be like Him. We have that hope. But you know what? Let's come on back here to now. He says, well, not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, trial, testing, worketh patience, and patience works experience. I know the scripture doesn't use that, but the English, the structure of the sentence allows that, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience works experience, and experience works hope. And so, We have this, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have that earnest of the Spirit within, and by the Spirit of God living within, we can get our eyes off the world and the way the world works and our flesh works, and get our eyes on the Lord and the way He works. Oh, it's a struggle, isn't it? It's a challenge day to day. Well, one day you think you're doing good, and the next moment something comes along and you just flat on your face, flat on your back. It's that way. It's back and forth. But you know what? These things do work. And so it is with assurance of salvation. We may have doubts. The message of Satan would be to cause us to doubt. We understand from the Scripture that Satan is a liar. We understand that this old flesh, and we need to understand this old flesh is still against God. The old flesh and the old mind, the old man, needs to be mortified. And why is that? Because he's against God yet. And so, we can have doubts indeed. How is it that we can come along and grow in assurance of salvation of our Lord? When we talk about those things that those that are saved believe, and the things that we know, how can we know more? You know, do you know about the promises of God? Have you ever sat down and, you know, got on the computer or got a notebook out and just start writing down the promises of God to you? Do well to do it. Do well to do it, because there are many. And as you study and as you read the Scripture, take note of them as you look to them. How is it that our assurance and can of salvation grow in our Lord? Well, we need to learn His Word. Again, it's not based on a feeling and emotion of this flesh, but our assurance is based upon the good Word of God. Take a look at 2 Timothy, and granted, this is written to a preacher, a pastor, but it's a concept and a principle that does well for all of us, the child of God. You've heard me say many times that we are called to be, as the children of God, lifetime students of the Bible. We are. There's not a one of us that's exempt. If you leave your studying and your reading to someone else, you will not know much. It's just that way. You need to feed upon the Word of God yourself. And your pastor wants to help you. The teachers that we have, they want to help you. But we can't do that for one another. We must do it ourselves. It says here, the admonition of the Apostle Paul to Brother Timothy in verse number 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. See, you learn them from the Scripture. We are assured of them as they're reinforced. Scripture, interpreting Scripture, Scripture going together with other passages, and we have steadfastness in the things that the Lord has given us. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who's that? From the Lord. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How do we know about our need to be saved? Well, it's by the Scriptures. How do we know how to live for our Lord? It's by the Scriptures. How do we know about our Savior? It's by the Scriptures. How is it that assurance can be increased in one's life? Learn the wisdom of God and His Word. Learn the wisdom of God and His Word. If the Word of God does not make sense to someone, And I understand there's hard things to be understood. There are passages. Brother Stephen's been touching on those in some of his Sunday school classes. But there's much that is easy to be understood. But if the Word of God doesn't speak to you, then maybe there needs to be some introspection about what's going on with a person. If the Word of God does not speak to you. You know what? We can get cold and indifferent as the children of God. And it takes a while. It takes longer to get over being cold and indifferent about the things of God than it takes to get that way. That can be a case certainly too. What increases assurance and salvation in our lives is learning God's good Word. It's all based on Him. Our salvation is based on Him. And He will see keeping us is based on Him. And knowing about Him helps us. Take a look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, familiar passage. Romans 6, 23. Next, we need to consider what can increase assurance in our lives is to be a thankful people. Are you thankful for what the Lord does for you? Are you thankful for what the Lord has done for you in saving you? I tell you what, there's no greater thing in our lives than being saved. Nothing greater. Not even daily food is greater than that. There's nothing greater that our Lord has done for us than saving us. Do you and I thank our Lord often for having done so? I dare say that when we bow our heads in prayer, we need to be thankful to our Lord for redeeming us, for saving us. Do you find it hard to thank the Lord? Do you find it odd to thank the Lord? Then consider. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord has given us salvation in our Savior. Eternal life is a gift from Him. Living forever. Those who are saved will only die physically. Never die spiritually. And that is the terrible death indeed. I don't know about physical death. I've not been there yet. Nor have you. We're here, right? But I tell you what, eternal death in the lake of fire, the second death, is the most terrible eternal thing that there is. Dying without the Lord. You know what? He's given us eternal life. May we thank Him. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse number 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. I tell you what, we should be thankful as we enter into the house of the Lord, to meet with the house of the Lord, to worship Him. I'm thankful for our brethren as they pray. They're thankful. They offer up thanksgiving unto our Lord, and well that we should. We need to be thankful that our Lord has saved us. He's given us a church to meet with and to be a part of. He's given us a church to meet with, to worship Him together. To have that support that we need, to have that teaching, that instruction, the operation of God and what He's the commission that He's given His church to accomplish. To be thankful that our Lord has included us in such. There are those that have not been included. They've not. You know what? You have a blessing, you that are members of Olmsted Baptist Church, you have a blessing that John the Baptist didn't have. We need to be thankful. Thank God that He would do such a thing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise unto Him. Be thankful unto Him. And bless Your name, Father. Bless Your name indeed. Look what we've been saved from in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, we see the attitude of these, us, before the Lord saved us. Those that grapple to try to find God in their own way, approach unto God their own way. Listen to what it says here in verse number 20. We'll back up to that. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of Him, that is of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. He shows that to all mankind. Romans 1:20. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power can be understood, and His Godhead, so that we, if you will, are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, that He's there. Now, men don't know naturally the way of the Bible, but mankind knows that God is there. And this chapter talks about the many ways that man goes about to find God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, because we're darkened, we have our understanding darkened, we're blinded, we're alienated from the Lord, we cannot perceive Him of our own selves. But knowing that He's there, He's not glorified, and we're not thankful. Now, having been rescued from that state, what do you think we ought to be? Thankful. Thankful to our God. Because we've been saved from unthankfulness and became vain, empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened even more. You know, man's pursuit of God in and of himself is leads to more and more separation and division between man and God. And we've been rescued from that. Oh, may we be thankful to our Lord. A couple passages in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Let's take a look here. Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 14. And above all these things, put on charity, agape love, the love feast, for our Lord, for one another, for those unsaved, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, verse 15, to the which also you are called in one body, speaking to the church, members in the church, and be ye thankful. How can assurance grow in our life, assurance of our salvation and rest in our Lord? By learning His Word and by being indeed thankful unto Him. You know, again, if you find it hard to be thankful to the Lord, if you and I find it difficult or we think we're going to overthink the Lord, need to introspect, need to consider. Verse number 2, chapter 4, verse number 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving unto our Lord in our prayer unto Him. Thankfulness. How is it that assurance of salvation can grow in our lives? We'll make a public testimony before others. Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Listen to this passage. We are called to be witnesses of the resurrection of our Lord, of His gospel. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Do you tell those around you that the Lord has saved you and that they need salvation too? We need to. We need to declare that. Confessing Christ. You know, is it scary? In the old man, in the flesh, it's scary. It can be. Why is it scary? It's just words. You and I are willing to talk about any subject, and we need to get just as comfortable talking about the Lord to everybody as any other subject. Our hobbies, our children, our grandchildren, our work, our families, our interests, our Lord. We need to be willing to do so. It says here, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he dwelleth in God. You know, but the world and the way of man wants nothing to do with God and confesses nothing about the Lord. In Matthew chapter 10, let's take a look over here at what our Lord, words directly from the mouth of our Lord in the day of His ministry. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32. Matthew 10, verse number 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. May the Lord help us that we would do so. And the Lord is speaking to His disciples, as we saw Sunday afternoon, to the apostles. but applies to you and me. Do you confess the Lord or you're ashamed of the Lord? I tell you what, confessing Him, just going ahead, forgetting about self, forgetting about this old flesh, and forget about whether your face turns red or you get all hot and sweaty or your palms or your hands sweat. Forget about all that and tell about the Lord Jesus Christ to those round about you. Look here in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we see here, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We declare it. And what this ultimately leads to is what we understand, or are blessed to understand in the Scriptures. Are you saved? And I know you that are members here, that's not the case with you, but those who are saved that maybe we know of and come in contact with are saved but have not been baptized? Confess the Lord publicly in that way. Be baptized by one of the Lord's churches and confess publicly by that baptism the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the design. That's the operation. That's the way that the Lord has designed for folks to identify with Christ. I needed Him to die for me. I needed Him to be buried for me. It's by Him doing so that I have forgiveness, salvation, and life. And I needed Him to raise from the dead for me. Didn't you? Indeed. And in baptism, we confess Christ. You think about all those, of course, that were baptized by the first church and have been baptized by the Lord's churches since the Lord started His first church. But all those baptized by John the Baptist, don't you know that that was a spectacle? I'm of the opinion presently that there were not others that came baptizing. I think that was maybe a new thing. It was a thing that the Lord gave John, and John has that testimony of Christ every time he's baptizing somebody. It was in vogue. It seemed to be in vogue. The Pharisees went down there. They wanted to go ahead and get baptized too. And what did John do? He warned them. Who's warned you to flee the wrath to come? He said, bring some fruits suitable for repentance to show that you have repented. These have repented, but you have not. And so there, those people, they identified with the one that John preached. And we know that man changes things. No doubt there are many. There are many that have been saved and never were around correct and proper understanding of what baptism is and how one is truly baptized. I mean, that's the case. But the design is as the Apostle Paul and Brother Silas preached to the Philippian jailer, that those who believe are commanded of the Lord to be baptized to show forth and confess Christ publicly. And of course, we also know that that's the gateway to membership of the church, one of the Lord's churches. How is it that assurance of salvation can increase in our lives? Learning God's Word, being thankful unto Him, making a public testimony before others of our Lord, and then fourthly, to be in the church services. You know, Jesus has promised us that He's going to meet with us. Amen? Hadn't He promised He's going to meet with us? He will meet with us. The Holy Spirit of God, the work of the Comforter, will meet with us. And when every church establishes a meeting time, a special meeting, that authority, there's diversities of operations and diversities of things in the churches. There's leeway that churches have to determine ministry and to set up different things. Not all churches are bound to have everything just the same way. You know what? I believe indeed that for Vacation Bible School, the church having set to do that, our Lord met with us each night to overshadow that ministry and to work in those of the membership of the church. And we trust and pray that He would take that word into others and use it. Well, it's a sad thing, and I'm preaching to the choir. You're here tonight, okay, and I'm thankful for it. But have you ever been tempted to lay out? Have you ever been tempted to go shopping? Have you been tempted to go do something else? And you know, I say, don't go on vacation from the Lord. You go on vacation, make plans to attend services. Otherwise, don't go there on vacation. The Lord has promised to meet. Is it going to be over there? Is it going to be over there? Is it going to be over there? Well, you know what? He's going to be with His church. And I'm not against vacations. But make vacations around the Lord. Take the things of life and make them around the Lord, not make the Lord fit to what we want to do. How is it our assurance can grow? Is be a part of the church that the Lord has placed us in. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Does Jesus ever miss a service? Never does. You know, sometimes people get sick. I tell you what, if you got the flu and a fever, stay home. Stay home and get over it. Rest. If you have surgery, you're going to have to heal up. Don't hurt yourself. Get healed up. Lord knows about those things. But we're talking about this that's talking about here in these passages. Familiar passages, I trust. Hebrews 10, it tells us here in verse 22 to draw near. How can we draw near one to another? It says, draw near with a true heart, a full assurance in faith. See that word assurance? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. Let us draw near. That pure water is talking about, I believe, the Word. And that fellowship that we have, communion we have in Christ, of being baptized together into His church. Verse number 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful. He's faithful that promised. You and I need to be faithful too. Our Lord Jesus did everything the Father commanded Him to do to win and bring our salvation. Should we hold back? Lord, help us. Lord, help us that we would not hold back. Let us hold fast. And then verse number 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We've got to be near one another to provoke one another in this way. It's not good to provoke in an evil way for us to pick on one another. And we have fun, but we don't need to overdo it. But our desire and our aim needs to be to provoke one another to love and good works. How can we do so? Only by being together, not by being apart. And let us consider one another, provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some take that up to not go sometimes. And again, if there's a need, you got a loved one that's sick that needs cared for. My pastor used to tell about, well, when Johnny's sick, he just needs one person to stay home with him, not the whole family. I mean, that happens sometimes, that the whole family will stay. He just needs some responsible person to stay home with him, and the rest need to go ahead and come. Don't forsake it. Don't forsake it to go shopping. Don't forsake it. Yeah, I've often thought about this, and I'll likely never do it. But I've thought about some maybe that would develop a problem with being in the services, that I would get one of you brethren to cover for me, and then I would go visit them during services. Just waiting for the question, what are you doing here? Well, I'm just taking off like you. Thought I'd come visit you and see what's going on. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. We've got to be near one another, and so much the more to need to be near one another to do so, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I tell you what, the day of Christ is going to come. And how is it when the Lord comes and takes us out of here? Do you want to say, yes, here's the Lord Jesus? Or do you want to say, oh no, I wish I'd have been busy? But, you know, the child of God, I think the child of God could be at a place rebellious, disobedient, lacking, always thinking in our hearts and our minds that, well, I'm going to get better at that. I'm going to do better at that in the future and all that. And then one day we're going to run out of time. We're either going to die or the Lord's going to come back. So how can assurance increase in our lives, be a part of our Lord's church? Fifthly, live a righteous life. Righteousness and holiness is like the plague sometimes mentioned in our day. But you know what? We need to live as our Lord lived. We need to live righteously. We don't need to live self-righteously. We need to live righteously That's what that. What's that? Following after Christ. What would the Lord do? What would the Lord do being in our shoes? Take a look at Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, and listen to what this passage says. It's an interesting scripture, interesting verse. Isaiah 32, verse number 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. See, for a child of God that has the Spirit of God living within, for them not to be convicted about disobedience, there's either got to be ignorance that you're disobeying, you just don't know. That can happen. Or it's known, and then there's resultant guilt. And that guilt is there from the Spirit of God having an effect on the conscience, how we're all put together, which is there translated in our hearts, our minds, our inner self, the way we think and all that. Unless there's been some real searing going on and some searing and some burning to where that old conscience and the effect of the Word of God is kind of like, it just doesn't have an effect anymore. It can happen. I mean, wouldn't you say that about Lot? His righteous soul was vexed from day to day. His conscience got seared. He was not sensitive to the way of the Lord anymore. But the work of righteousness shall be peace. If you and I obey, no guilt. And you know what? We have peace with our Lord. We have rest in our Lord. We're found in everything, every point in which we obey our Lord and seek to walk with Him and look to walk with Him, ask Him to help us, go to Him. You don't have any guilt. You don't have any guilt because you've been obedient. You got an attitude of thankfulness because you've been obedient. It's peaceful. You can go to the Lord in prayer and not at least have to repent about that. Amen? You know what I'm saying? We've all got things we've got to repent of because we know we're not perfect. But we need to strive to be and ask our Lord to help us to be. And where we fail, go to the Lord, which we'll review here in time to come. But he says here, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance. How long? Forever. You know, that whole thing that we took a look at Peter, and I know we were long time taking a look at his life and his epistles. But that whole thing of what the Lord told him, I've prayed for you, Peter. And when you're converted, help make your brethren strong. Strengthen them. Not being saved. He's not talking about him being saved. He's already saved. But when he's sold out in his heart and mind that he's going to live the calling that the Lord's called him with. And we saw that he failed in some points. But you know what? He didn't quit. And he strove. And we see by the time that he wrote those epistles, and of course the work of God within him, to do so, he is found reminding us of what God said. Why? If we'll obey what our Lord says, we indeed will have peace with Him, fruit for Him. Proverbs chapter 10, take a look over here. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. Uprightness is a steady path. It's a narrow path, which is our Lord, isn't it? But he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Infamy. And you know what? It's bad to have infamy known to the Lord. For the child of God, it will bring chastisement. And we need to live a righteous life for our Lord indeed. Peace and assurance of salvation is based on believing and operating what our Lord has given us, not in His promises, not how we feel. In the consideration of these this portion of the study, I came to this. What brings assurance of salvation into our lives and causes it to increase? How about this? Pray and hear and pray and obey and pray and be tested and pray and hear and pray and obey. You hear that? Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that what our Lord's given us? Is to follow Him like He told our brother. Next time we'll take a look at and review what happens if we sin. How does that work for the child of God? Well, what happens when you do sin? Because it's a reality. And there are those even some that are near to us. I'm not talking about in our church, but have connection with our church, connection with members of our church, that they're of the opinion that they have been taught all their life that when somebody is saved, they never sin. Yeah, but that's not true. That's not right. And the Scripture very much tells us about that. It is a reality that we will sin. We're not justified to sin, but we have something, a way to deal with it when we do sin as the children of God. And so we'll look, Lord willing, we'll look at that next time. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You know what? Sinners need a way, because the way that they're on is broad, deadly, and leads to nothing but destruction. Sinners don't have the truth. They need the truth, and the truth is found in a man, the man, the Son of God, the God-man, and He is the truth. Folks without Christ, folks that are not saved, are dead and dying. And the situation's getting worse by the moment. The condemnation of God rests squarely upon that individual's head for their sins. The coming doom and damnation for sin is resting on them. It's just waiting for the passing of this physical life to go on to the next, where those things are dealt with. But in Christ, there's life. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. Believe in Him.